Hallelujah. So tonight, and for this weekend, we come to a very wonderful topic. So how about we all look at the cover of our booklet, and let's read the topic together. The Lord's return. How about one more time? The Lord's return. So this topic is very special, but we want to have the right attitude and the right heart when we come to such a topic, right? We don't want to take this lightly or take it in a light way, because this matter is very much on the Lord's heart, right? He ascended about 2,000 years ago, and he wants to come back, and he's waiting for something. So for this whole weekend, we want to have a proper heart. We want to have a proper spirit, message by message, throughout the whole weekend. We need a lot of prayer, a lot of personal prayer, a lot of corporate prayer, a lot of fellowship. You'll see in the outlines, there's a lot of points. And our heart is not to merely give a bunch of points. We want each one of you to touch the Lord. Amen. We want you to enjoy the Lord and love him. Amen. Because that's what he needs. He needs those who will love him to the uttermost that he could come back. Amen. So we need to pray for a clear sky. I think we had a good beginning tonight. Amen. We want the whole weekend to have a clear sky, amen, nothing between, amen, an open heaven, amen, that the Lord could speak to us and dispense himself into us. Amen. So even for this, it's good for us to consider the prayer in Ephesians 1, verse 17 and 18, even to the end of the chapter, that the Lord would give us a spirit, a wisdom and revelation. Amen. So even as we're sitting in our seats, we can pray this prayer. We should pray to the Lord, Lord, grant me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Amen. Even pray for all of us here, that we would have such a spirit, the Lord could reveal himself to us. Amen. And particularly, I like this, you'll have to get into this after the meeting. You look at verse 18, it talks about that we would see the hope of his calling.
That's right.
The hope of his calling.
Amen.
And so part of this weekend is intended that we would see the hope of the Lord's calling.
Amen.
There's actually a lot of points there.
Yeah.
And so there's four main points that we need to see, and one of them is the hope of the Lord's calling toward us. It has everything to do with his coming back. It has everything to do with our being the right persons, transformed, built up. We'll come to that a little bit later. But there's a lot to see. So footnote 3, for those of you who have a Recovered Version Bible, Ephesians 1:18, note 3. Maybe in your cabin time, I know there's already a reading. Hopefully I'll give you a few other footnotes. The word's wonderful, right?
Amen.
The Lord's word is wonderful.
Amen.
It's like honey.
Amen.
We want to devour it.
Amen.
We want to redeem the time this weekend.
Amen.
We don't have time to waste.
Amen.
The Lord has given us enough time to be ready for his coming, but we have no time to waste.
Amen.
So may the Lord grant us a weekend of pursuing and of redeeming the time.
Amen.
And of buying much, much oil. So we want to have a proper heart, proper spirit. We want to be unloaded. Even, we need to pray, even the prayer in Matthew 5, verse 3 and verse 8, that we would be poor in spirit.
Amen.
Poor in spirit. I think a number of you have heard things about the Lord's coming, but we don't want to hold on to our old knowledge. We really do want the Lord to speak something fresh. But the only way we'll receive it is if we're unloaded of our old knowledge.
Amen.
So we want to be poor in spirit.
Amen.
And we want to be pure in heart.
Amen.
To be pure in heart is to be single with a focus for the Lord himself.
Amen.
And so regardless of whether we feel like we're pure in heart, we can pray. Purify my heart, Lord.
Yes.
Make me pure in heart.
Amen.
That I would seek after you.
Amen.
Okay. So we're coming to the Lord's second coming. And in considering this matter, I realize that there's a negative example of the Lord's first coming. There were a group of people at the time that the Lord was born that knew about his coming, but did not care. And if you read in Matthew 2, there were scribes and priests that when I believe it was the Magi, they came to King Herod, they asked, Herod asked the scribes and the priests, where is he going to be born? Where is the Christ going to be born? And they told him, because they knew. They knew from the word of God where the Christ would be born. And guess what? They were not there to meet the Lord. They did not seek after him, and they did not care about him. So that's why we need to be careful about our old knowledge. Our knowledge, we're not here just to gain knowledge about the Lord. We want the Lord.
Amen.
We want the person.
Amen.
So again, you look at Matthew 2, it'll point out they didn't see the vision, and they didn't seek the Lord.
Amen.
So this weekend, we need to see a vision, and we want to seek the Lord.
Amen.
Because that is what will bring him back. So even tonight, we're on the promise. This message one, and we'll get into the outline in a little bit, is about the promise of the Lord's coming.
Amen.
And so with the promise, it's the Lord. It is the Lord's promise. He's coming back. So we need to ask, what is he coming back for? We know the Lord's coming back, but what is he coming back for? I think with some believers, there may be the thought that the Lord's coming back is a mere event. That right now we've been saved. Praise the Lord. We have been saved. We have been washed. We have been regenerated. But we're just here waiting for Christ to come back. Don't know when, but someday he's going to come. We need to realize there's a reason why the Lord's coming back. And so there are a few things he's coming back for. Okay, so I'm going to write a few things down because we need some context. We're getting into the matter of the Lord's coming, and we're going to spend a lot of time on the preparation, on how we get ourselves ready, and we want to see the Lord himself, several aspects of Christ and his coming back. And those aspects of Christ will help us to know how we get ready for the Lord's coming, right? He's coming back as a judge. He's coming back as the bridegroom. Because he's coming back as the bridegroom, he wants us to love him.
Amen.
He wants us to love him.
Amen.
So in all the aspects of Christ, these indicate how we can make ourselves ready for his coming back. And that'll be covered more tomorrow morning. Don't miss tomorrow morning, right? Don't stay up late tonight. Don't miss both meetings tomorrow morning. I've been to a number of college retreats. I know. Okay, but none of you will do that. Hallelujah. So what is the Lord's what is the Lord coming back for?
Okay, so,
and you'll notice some of these phrases, some of these words in the verses we're going to get into tonight. So, and I'm going to give you another set of words in a few minutes. Just getting into this outline in the Word, a number of things stood out. So one of the things he's coming back for is a kingdom.
Amen.
He's a king, right?
Yes.
A king needs a kingdom.
Amen.
So as the king, he's coming back for the kingdom. Second thing he's coming back for, and he's going to fill this with his glory, is his house.
Amen.
You'll see this. The word's awesome. You'll see.
Amen.
He wants to come back and fill his house with his glory.
Amen.
So that house, in the New Testament terms, would be the church. And again, with what's revealed in Ephesians 1, it's the church which is his body.
Yes.
Amen.
And then the last thing is a bride. So this should help us, right? The Lord, he wants to come back for the kingdom, because he's a king. And so we need to ask ourselves, what are we living for? This is what the Lord wants. What are we living for, right? It's good to ask ourselves this. We need to ask the Lord, and we need to ask ourselves, what are we living for? Because we want to make sure we are fully lined up with what is on the Lord's heart, right? And certainly we believe, our prayer is that all of us would enter into this. We would enter into what's on the Lord's heart. Nobody here is excluded. Everybody has free access, right? We've been washed by the blood. Precious is the blood. Precious is the flow. So we all have access to come forward to God. All of us can enter in. Nobody's excluded. So when the devil comes, just tell him to shut up, right? Just chase him. Just praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord wants to bring us in to make us his kingdom people.
Amen.
And so this is what I'm living for. I was asking myself the same thing. I'm living for this, and I can't even help it. I can't help it because the Lord appeared to me, and he attracted me, and he called me.
Amen.
He called me as a college student just before college. Very vivid. 18 years old. The Lord appeared to me. I grew up in the church life. Grew up with a lot of believers. At a certain point, Jesus was real.
Amen.
Jesus was real.
Amen.
That's all I wanted. I wanted Jesus.
Amen.
Every day with the brothers. I was with these brothers on campus. Another brother's coming up tomorrow. We were together on campus. We wanted Jesus.
Amen.
That's all we wanted, right?
Amen.
So we can't help it, right?
Amen.
So a little testimony, since I'm on that. Because he appeared, because he called, and because I saw something, I wanted it. We want it. We see it, and we want it. With the Lord, what we see is what we get.
Amen.
That's why we want our eyes open. If we see it, we'll get it.
Amen.
We can have it. So the Lord was real when I entered into college, and that was a life-changing event. I was very different. Not bad so much per se, but just real passive and not seeking that much. But the Lord had mercy on me. And so this is what I wanted to give myself to. And by his mercy, I'm still giving myself, right?
Amen.
We're still running.
Amen.
We're still pursuing.
Amen.
So this is a running weekend. We're going to run together.
Amen.
And we're going to pursue together.
Amen.
This is what's on the Lord's heart.
Amen.
So, coming back real briefly to this matter of him wanting a kingdom. Brothers and sisters, he needs kingdom people. The Lord needs kingdom people. And you all here have the unique blessing, honor, and privilege to be the kingdom people.
Amen.
All of you.
Amen.
That kingdom requires a certain kind of life. And fortunately, the king lives in us.
Amen.
So the king can live the kingdom life.
Amen.
So I hope there's a lot of encouragement this weekend, because there should be.
Yes.
The Lord's coming is an encouragement.
Yes.
It brings with it a hope.
Amen.
There's also a warning to us. So, okay, I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit. So I wanted to give 7 more words. I won't write them down, but you'll find these also in the verses. Or in the notes. I already mentioned a few of them. Firstly, tonight we're covering a promise.
Amen.
The Lord has promised to come back.
Amen.
It's not a fairy tale.
Hallelujah.
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 He is coming back.
Amen.
He came once.
Amen.
He's coming again.
Amen.
And he's coming back for a bride.
Amen.
To establish his kingdom all over the earth.
Yes.
So this is his promise to us. If we believe that he died for us and he rose again, we should believe he's coming again. Because that's what the Word of God says.
Amen.
And we want to take the Word and take the Lord at his promise.
Amen.
Okay, so there's the matter of promise, and you'll see that in the verses. Also, there's the matter of a person.
Amen.
We care about a person. We're not here for an event.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I pray we're not here merely for an event.
Amen.
We're not here merely passively waiting for the Lord's coming. We want to bring him back.
Amen.
That is our goal. For our entire life. Okay, so the second word is person.
Amen.
We're not here for an event. We're here for a person. We're here for a lovely person.
Amen.
A wonderful person.
Amen.
A precious person, right?
Amen.
Third word, encouragement.
Amen.
You'll see, especially in the writings of Paul, in the epistles, that he used the Lord's second coming as an encouragement to the believers.
Yeah.
Especially in their suffering, right? A lot of persecution, a lot of suffering. But Paul knew that the Lord's coming was an encouragement.
Amen.
So you'll find this also in the Word. It brings with it a hope, right? A hope. That's the fourth word. Faith is mainly related to the past. We believe in what the Lord accomplished. Hope is mostly related to the future, right?
Amen.
Our hope, we have a living hope.
Amen.
Hopefully I'll touch this at the end. 1 Peter 1:3.
Right.
Note 6, if I forget later, write this down. 1 Peter 1:3, note 6. Hopefully I'll come back to this. This is precious. We have a living hope.
Amen.
Fifth, there's a salvation. The Lord's coming is very much involved with his full salvation.
Yes.
His coming brings salvation. You'll see this in the Word. We'll get into this in just a little bit. And then with it, of course, there's a warning, right? There's a warning. Paul also used it as a warning to the believers. Don't be careful how you run. There's a lot of warnings in the book of Hebrews. We'll touch a little bit of Hebrews tonight. There's a lot of warnings also to motivate us,
amen,
right?
Yeah.
We need an encouragement, and sometimes we need a warning.
Amen.
We need both. I need that too.
Yes.
I need the encouragement,
amen,
and I need a warning.
Amen.
They both motivate me,
amen,
and we need to be motivated.
Amen.
And then finally, with that, we're sober. And I hope we would have a sober-mindedness this weekend. Certainly there's an enjoyment. There's an ecstasy, especially when we talk about the Lord's coming back at the wedding feast.
Amen.
Right? That's a jubilant time.
Amen.
That's the universal gathering, right?
Amen.
So you don't want to miss that event. That is an event. You don't want to miss that. That's 1,000 years. Don't miss it. But to be there, we need to have a sober mind.
Amen.
We need to be very clear what the Lord wants and what we're here for. We want to mean business with the Lord. We want to mean business. Okay, and so I'm about to touch the island, but one last point. I want to be real careful. This isn't something scary. The Lord's coming does not have to be scary. It may be a warning, and it may bring sober-mindedness, but it's not scary. Only to the unbelievers. Only to the unbelievers. You look at it. In Revelation 6, let me read this. Revelation 6, verses 16 through 18. What a contrast in the book of Revelation. We'll spend the tail end here. You look at Revelation 6, 16 through 18. And these are the unbelievers. The kings of the earth, the great men and the generals, the rich, the strong, every slave and free man, this is verse 15, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountain. And they say to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So the unbelievers want to be hidden from the Lord's face. Okay, but guess what? You look at chapter 22, verse 4. It's wonderful. 22:4. And they will see his face.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is us. We will see his face.
Amen.
So there's a contrast here, right? Same lamb. To us, he's lovely.
Amen.
He's precious and he's wonderful. So we want to spend the whole weekend beholding Jesus.
Amen.
We want to turn our heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away.
Amen.
So we want to behold and reflect the Lord with an unveiled face. That's what we want to do this weekend. That's why we're here. That's why we came. We didn't come for anything else except to see Jesus only. Okay, now let's turn to the outline. Again, we're here. We're covering this matter of the promise of Christ's coming. And so you look at Roman numeral 1, and it talks about this word parousia. Parousia. It's a Greek word. And so you can see in parenthesis, it means presence. It's referring to the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
This is a person.
Amen.
Remember, we're here about it for a person.
Amen.
So the coming of Christ in his parousia is related to a wonderful person.
Amen.
How about the brothers read point A?
Beginning from the heavens before the great tribulation.
Okay. So again, it's all in the context of the promise of the Lord's coming. The first aspect of the Lord's parousia is from the heavens. So his coming back actually, in a certain sense, isn't instantaneous. It actually lasts a period of time, maybe 3.5 years, roughly around that time. But it starts from the heavens. And you can look at the verses in Revelation 12:5, which will indicate the rapture of the man-child to the throne, which indicates that, again, the Lord's coming starts from the heavens.
Amen.
Same thing with 14:1. He's on Mount Zion with the first fruits. That's where we want to be.
Amen.
We want to be the first fruits,
Amen.
The ripe ones, full of the Lord's life. Okay, but in Luke 21, how about we turn to that verse? I think all of you should have the verses in your booklet. How about everybody read Luke 21:36? Be watchful.
Amen.
At every time.
Amen.
Beseeching.
Amen.
Beseeching.
Amen.
That you would prevail to escape.
Amen.
Underline that. Good to underline, right? Watching. Every time. Beseeching. Prevail to escape. We need a lot of prayer this weekend. I think I mentioned that. During the speaking, in the cabin times, by ourselves, with those in our cabin, in the morning, again by ourselves, find time with the Lord.
Amen.
That's the only way this word will have an effect on us is if we pray it back to the Lord.
Amen.
There's a cycle. The Lord speaks, we receive, and then we want to pray it back to the Lord.
Amen.
If we merely hear the word, it'll stay there. It may be an inspiration, but we may not get it lodged into our being. The Lord told the disciples, put this in your ears. The only way we can do that is by prayer.
Amen.
So we need much and thorough prayer. So as a tip, if there's something that the Lord's touching you about in the meeting or after the meeting, that's what you need to pray.
Amen.
That's what you need to pray back to the Lord. Pray those points. Okay. So then, point B. How about the sisters read point B?
Coming now to bear before the end of the great tribulation.
So then again, you can see this from 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, that the Lord's coming down. How about point C, brothers?
Coming to the earth at the conclusion of the great tribulation.
So again, look at the verses, but it tells us that the Lord's coming back to the earth. He's going to slay someone also with the breath of his mouth. He's going to slay, right? There's an enemy. There's some warfare. There's with the bride, there's also warfare. You'll see this, right? I think we come to this at the end. Revelation 19, there's a wedding feast, and then there's a battle. So we need to love the Lord first, and then we fight. So the Lord's going to do the fighting for us. He's going to slay the Antichrist with the breath of his mouth, which is the word.
Amen.
So then Roman numeral 2, we come to the promise of Christ's coming. And I think it would be very good if we read these verses also. 2 Peter 3, 4, and 9. So how about you all read those two verses?
Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue in this way.
Amen. All advance. Amen. So there's mockers, and you'll find them on the campuses. I'm sure you've encountered plenty of them. The unbelievers, the atheists. These brothers know. You'll find all sorts of people on campus, and they're mocking, asking, where's the promise? Where's the promise? But the Lord has promised, and the Lord really is coming. And the Lord does not delay regarding the promise, as some count delay. So some people have their own evaluation, and the Lord has his own. But there's a reason why he is seemingly delaying, seemingly, because he's long-suffering. This is precious. The Lord is long-suffering toward each one of us, even toward a lot of the unbelievers, that no one would perish, but that everyone would advance.
Amen.
Everyone would advance. to repentance. This is the Lord's heart, which is why we need to preach the gospel.
Amen.
We need to share with our friends, with our classmates, concerning the Lord himself and his full salvation.
Amen.
There's a limited time called the age of grace where men can receive God.
Right.
They can be born again and receive the eternal life. This is the time.
Right.
And you all are in a blessed place to have so many classmates quarter by quarter or semester by semester that you can share the word with, right? Okay, so then, listen to this. This is really good. This is verse 11 and 12. It's not in the booklet, but if you have it, you can look in the word. Since all these things are to be thus dissolved, he's talking about, Peter's talking about the earth and all the elements are going to be burned and dissolved. Again, that's the sober-mindedness. That's the warning. This world is going to be consumed. Since all these things are to be thus dissolved, what kind of persons ought you to be in a holy manner of life and godliness?
Amen.
What kind of persons? So that indicates that we ourselves need to be a certain kind of person.
Amen.
For the Lord's coming back.
Amen.
Okay, then I love this. This first phrase of verse 12, expecting and hastening the coming of the day of God.
Amen.
That's what we're here for, expecting
Amen.
And hastening.
Amen.
Expecting and hastening.
Amen.
That means we can hasten.
Yes.
Amen.
And by the opposite is true too. We could delay. We want to hasten.
Right.
We want to be faithful. We want to be watchful that the Lord would come back.
Amen.
You also see the promise in Hebrews 10:36. We'll come to that again in a little bit. Okay, so in the promise, and I wanted to spend some time on the points under point A in the Old Testament. How about sisters read point one under A, 2A. So the Lord's coming back to be warmly welcomed. So blessed is he, right, who comes in the name of the Lord.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
So you can take a look at that. How about brothers, point two?
That Christ as the Son of Man
Amen. So here you'll see that the matter of the Lord's coming is related to the kingdom, even in the Old Testament. So in verse 13, chapter 7, verse 13, it says, I watched in the night visions, and there was there with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man. One.
Amen.
Holy for one.
Amen.
Like the son of man.
Amen.
He was coming, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom,
Amen.
That all the peoples, nations, and languages might serve him.
Amen.
His dominion is an eternal dominion.
Amen.
Eternal dominion.
Amen.
Which will not pass away.
Amen.
His kingdom is one that will not be destroyed.
Amen.
Not be destroyed.
Amen.
So this again is encouragement, right?
Yes.
This is an encouragement. There's a kingdom that cannot be shaken.
Amen.
There's a kingdom that cannot be destroyed.
Amen.
And he's making us that kingdom.
Yay.
By working himself into us.
Amen.
Nothing can defeat resurrection life.
Amen.
This kingdom is, these kingdom people, they're filled with Christ as the king, as the resurrected king.
Amen.
Will not pass away, will not be destroyed.
Amen.
Here's another encouragement. We're going to mix in the warnings with the encouragement and the hope, right?
Amen.
We need both. So you look at verse 18, Daniel 7:18. But the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever.
Amen.
Indeed, forever and ever.
Amen.
The saints of the Most High, that's us,
Hallelujah.
Will receive. Receive what? A kingdom,
Amen.
Right? We're here to receive a kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. And why? And I like how Daniel ends it. Indeed, forever and ever. Just to make the point. Not just forever, but forever and ever.
Amen.
That's what he has for us. What could be better? What could be better than this, right?
Amen.
What can we give our lives to that exceeds an eternal kingdom?
Amen.
That will not be destroyed,
Amen.
That will not pass away.
Amen.
This is what the Lord has for us. He wants us to all enter in.
Amen.
There is nothing greater than our entering into and becoming the kingdom of God and becoming the bride of Christ. Okay. Point three. What are they, how about the brothers read point three?
That Christ has the desire of all nations will come to fill God's house with glory.
So this is also another wonderful verse. So how about you all turn to Haggai 2:7. Let's read Haggai 2:7 together. And I will shake all the nations, and the desire of all the nations will come.
And I will fill this house with glory, says Jehovah of hosts.
Again, a little warning. He's going to shake. Then there's some enjoyment with some encouragement. The desire. Come, desire of nations, come, right? That's one of the, maybe you could say that's the Lord's name, desire. Capital D, desire.
Amen.
Desire, come. Amen. Amen. So this one, he's the desire of the nations because he's the embodiment of everything, every positive thing.
Amen.
Of righteousness, holiness, love, peace. Every wonderful positive thing is embodied in Christ.
Amen.
And whether or not the nations realize it, what they're really seeking after is found in the Lord himself. This is why the Lord is the desire of nations.
Amen.
This is a good verse to pray read.
Amen.
Just pray over the Lord as the desire.
Amen.
That he be the desire of our heart.
Amen.
If he becomes the desire of our heart, we will run after him. Okay, but then it says, I will fill this house with what?
Glory.
Glory. He's going to fill the house with glory.
Yeah.
Right? House. So there's kingdom and there's house. He's going to fill the house with glory.
Amen.
Whose house we are, right? We're that house.
Amen.
He wants to glorify us.
Amen.
It's part of his salvation. So it's important, I think, to point out that the context of this book, you could say it's one of the books of recovery. Because at the time, there was a minority of the children of Israel who had left Babylon. If you look at the end of the Old Testament, it's actually, in a certain sense, not that positive. The kings, they mostly failed the Lord, and eventually Babylon came away and swept and took away and destroyed a lot of the kingdom of Israel, right? And many of those Israelites were in Babylon for many, many years. And we'll come to Daniel in a minute. He was a man of preciousness.
Amen.
He prayed according to the prophecy. He gave heed to the prophetic word. But before there was because of that prayer, and because of the Lord's promise, there was a return.
Amen.
However, only a minority left Babylon. The majority actually stayed in Babylon. It was the minority that enabled Christ to come the first time. Because the Lord was not going to come to the earth the first time to be born in Babylon. That's not his heart. He hates Babylon. The Lord needed a group of people to come back.
Amen.
To come back to Jerusalem.
Amen.
To build the house. To build the temple, and to build up the wall.
Amen.
And so Haggai, at this time, there was a need for some encouragement. Because there had already been a group who had returned. And so here, this book is given to the priest, I think, particularly. But it's one of the books of recovery with an encouragement. So we need to realize that the Lord's first coming was due to a group of people leaving Babylon and coming back to the place of God's choice.
Amen.
His second coming also depends on a group of people coming out of a spiritual Babylon to come back to the place of his choice.
Amen.
To build up his spiritual house.
Amen.
So, that house is filled with his glory. We want to be filled with his glory too. We just need to ask. We need to ask the Lord to fill us.
Amen.
That's what we want this weekend. We want to be filled with the Lord. Okay, how about point four, sisters? So how about we all turn to Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. So while you're turning, Let me read the verses right before it in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Again, I love it. There's the matter, there's a fear, which is the soberness. There's also the encouragement. Listen to this. This is chapter 3, verse 16. Then those who feared Jehovah spoke to one another, each with his neighbor. And Jehovah gave heed and listened. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared Jehovah and considered his name. A book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared Jehovah and considered his name. Verse 17, and they will be mine.
Amen.
And they will be mine.
Amen.
Says Jehovah of hosts. A personal treasure. Isn't that awesome? Those who fear him. Those who fear him. They will be mine. A personal treasure.
Amen.
In the day that I will prepare. So chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read these three verses all together. This is actually one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament. Malachi 4:2, about the Son of Righteousness. There's a lot to say here. But starting at the very beginning, it says, but unto you who what?
Fear my name.
Brothers and sisters, do we have a proper fear of the Lord? Do we have a proper fear? There is such a thing as a healthy fear of the Lord. And it says, to those, or to you who fear my name, will the Son of Righteousness arise. So we need to be those who properly fear the Lord, not to offend him, but to seek after him. Okay, but he's also the Son of Righteousness. We don't have to look far to see all the unrighteousness, degradation, pollution, filth on this earth, right? Which is what the Lord wants to clear up. I hate it. I mean, you can hardly go a place without touching all the pollution. So that's why we need the Son of Righteousness.
Amen.
He's the Son of Righteousness.
Amen.
His desire is to clear up the entire universe, right? Even a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells.
Amen.
Okay, but he's the Son. And I would encourage you to look at the footnote for this verse. We won't get into it so much, but he's the healing Christ. As the Son of Righteousness, he's the healing one, right? The whole earth is filled with death and injustice. But Christ is the Son of Righteousness. He wants to heal us, and he wants to give, and he wants to bring in justice, and he wants to give us life. That's what he wants to do, right? He's the Son of Righteousness. So unto you who fear my name will the Son of Righteousness arise with healing. Who here needs healing?
Amen.
Raise your hand if you need healing.
Amen.
Right? He's available.
Amen.
He wants to heal us.
Amen.
We need to let him.
Amen.
Fly through us.
Amen.
Fly in.
Amen.
Fly through.
Amen.
And fly out of us.
Amen.
His shining is his healing.
Amen.
His shining is his healing.
Amen.
So we want to let the Lord penetrate us by his light. It's a precious light. It's the light of life. Where he shines, darkness and death are dispelled.
Amen.
And then guess what happens? You will go forth.
Amen.
Go forth like what?
Well-fed calves.
Isn't that wonderful? I think at least it implies that we need to eat.
Amen.
We need to eat a lot of Christ this weekend. And then we will leap about. We were enjoying in the car, another brother and I, that this healing, we need to have our lame legs healed.
Amen.
We need to be healed of our paralysis, right?
Amen.
That we would leap about. We would leap. because we're so full, so much in the enjoyment.
Amen.
We would leap like well-fed calves.
Amen.
So again, this is related to our hope, right? Christ is our hope. This is what we have ahead of us. We have a bright future. We have a wonderful destiny.
Amen.
Because of Christ as the Son of Righteousness. So again, it would be good to pray over this, to contact the Lord, to know the Lord as the Son of Righteousness. I don't know if we pray over verses like this very often, but I've been helped just to pray, Lord, pass through me, right? Fly through me. Those wings, the healing in his wings, those wings are the rays of light, right? It's the rays of light. That's why we talk about it shining. So those rays, as they come in and pass through, they heal us. We have too much darkness and death, and we need his healing very, very badly. So he's available. He's our hope. He'll heal us, and he's going to heal the nations. Okay. So how about point B? So this is the matter of the Lord's promise in the Old Testament. There's actually a lot of other passages, and we only went over a few. There's a number of passages. You might come across some good notes that show a number of other verses. Certainly Zechariah, Isaiah, a number of books talk about the Lord's coming. But this gives you a feeling that the Lord promised, even in the Old Testament, that he was coming back. Okay, how about in the Gospels, how about we all read point 1, 2, and 3? Amen. So the Lord is coming as a thief. And this will be covered more, I think, a couple of times. But he's coming back for precious ones, right? We want to pray that we would become the precious ones that the Lord would come back for. And even just reading, looking over Daniel, there's a couple of verses. In one place it says, Daniel was a man of preciousness. They could. There was a recognition. This man, Daniel, he was a man of preciousness.
Amen.
In chapter 9, it says, "You are preciousness itself."
Amen.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Amen.
Daniel was not only a man of preciousness, he was preciousness itself.
Amen.
So we want to pray also that we would be the precious ones, that we would be stolen by the Lord
Amen.
When he returns.
Okay,
but it's interesting. I don't know if you've noticed. I never noticed it before looking at this. Not only is the Lord likened to a thief, but the day of the Lord is likened to a thief in the night.
Right.
I hadn't considered that before. I always thought that the Lord is a thief coming to steal us away. And he is. But also, in actually more than one place, it says that the day of the Lord is like a thief coming in the night. So it's the day. That means it's hidden. It's secretive. We don't know when it's coming. Meaning, be ready. Don't fall asleep. Awake sleeper, right?
Yeah.
Rise from the dead.
Amen.
We need to be watchful. And there will be a lot of more fellowship in this weekend about being watchful and ready. But just to know that the day of the Lord's coming is like a thief. So then there's also the open aspect. And you can read about that in Matthew 24. There's an open aspect. The Lord's going to come like lightning. That's when everybody will really know. He's going to be in the clouds, like it says, related to this parousia. His presence. He's going to be clothed with the clouds. The first fruits will be raptured to the throne. They'll be with the Lord. They'll descend with the Lord. It won't be until he comes as lightning that the whole earth knows. That's right. This one is real, and he's come back.
Right.
So that'll be his open coming. And then with point three, too precious. The Lord really has a heart for that enjoyment in the coming kingdom, that he said he wouldn't drink this cup until he drinks it anew in the coming kingdom. So the Lord is anticipating something. he's anticipating a wonderful time in the kingdom. That's the wedding feast, right? There's a feast. Don't miss it. Brothers and sisters, the precious ones are going to be there. I don't know how I could convey what that would be like. Abraham, Isaac, I mean, it talks about the patriarchs. They're going to be there. We want to be there with them. And actually, it really is up to us. We need to make it. We need to make the decision, make the choice, and consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Okay, so we continue, though, with the promise in the Acts. How about Brothers, read point one.
That the ascended Christ will come in the same way as his disciples beheld him going into heaven.
How about Sisters, point two.
That Christ will come to judge the world in righteousness.
So again, you look at the verses, or the verse in Acts 17:31, right? There it is. There's a warning. That means we need to be sober, right? The Lord's going to come to judge. We don't have it on here. Maybe it's later, but in 2 Corinthians, we ourselves will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. It's very, very serious. The unbelievers will be judged at the great white throne. We ourselves are going to be judged by the Lord. So we want to be very careful and heed the Lord's warning, heed the Lord's word, that we'd be the faithful ones.
Amen.
That we'd be the faithful ones, right?
Amen.
Okay. Amen. So it's right around there. So, real quick. So there, we saw a few of the verses already related to our living. And we should live in light of the judgment seat of Christ. So there's, again, multiple aspects of the Lord's coming. Sometimes we don't like this kind of word. It's like garlic, right? But there's a lot of germs in us that need to be killed. And if we allow the Lord to touch us and heal us, we'll be very grateful and very thankful to the Lord. So it's not a light thing. So in light of that, we need to make ourselves ready through his salvation. So we're going to come to the epistles. How about we firstly open? I'll come back to that. How about we read point one?
That the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
Okay, so this is where it actually talks about it, right? This is one of the verses. He's going to come back like a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. Okay, how about we read point two?
That the Lord Jesus will slay Antichrist by the breath of his mouth.
Hallelujah.
And bring into nothing by the manifestation of his coming.
Amen.
That's wonderful also, right? That's in the will.
Amen.
That's in the covenant. Is that the Antichrist will be slain, the devil will be cast in the lake of fire. Okay, how about we read point three?
And the Lord himself will descend from heaven to meet the living and remaining believers in the air.
Amen. Amen. So I was trying to remember the verse. So in light of the Lord's coming at the judgment seat, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 5. I could find it later, but Paul talks about gaining the honor of being well-pleasing to the Lord. And I pray this prayer from time to time. Lord, let me gain the honor of being well-pleasing to you.
Amen.
Because I want to be one who can stand before the Son of Man, right, and be with that number on Mount Zion and descend with him on the clouds. We want to gain the honor of being well-pleasing to the Lord. Okay, so in this section, though, certainly we have the promise of the Lord's coming. But also we see that there's a matter of salvation in these verses. And you will notice that if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, maybe some of you can turn to it. I will read it. It says, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. So this links our heart with the Lord's coming. That he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. So we should pray. Again, pray this back to the Lord. Lord, establish my heart blameless in holiness. Blameless in holiness. Before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints.
Amen.
Actually, look at the, this is really good. You look at the outline in the recovery version, it says encouragement with hope.
Amen.
That's right above that. That's the encouragement with hope.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is an encouragement and there is a hope.
Amen.
This is what the Lord wants to do. He wants to save us to the uttermost.
Amen.
And he does that. And when he does that, he establishes our heart blameless in holiness. Okay, then also, you'll notice in 1 Thessalonians that we see the matter of the Lord's salvation, particularly in chapter 5. And it's also in relation to the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming is mentioned at the end of every chapter of the book 1 Thessalonians. Did you all realize that? 1 Thessalonians, every chapter, the Lord's coming is mentioned near the end of that, at the end of each chapter. And the Thessalonians were new believers. Paul had spent maybe 3 weeks with them. But he knew that he could encourage them and exhort them and warn them by the Lord's coming.
Amen.
By the Lord's coming. Okay, so I think a lot of you have seen a particular diagram. I'm going to... So I think a lot of us are familiar, if not all of us, with the three circles. But I think it's good to highlight what the Lord's doing in us, right? Because this is altogether related to his full salvation. Again, one of the aspects of his coming is related to salvation. And he saves us, firstly, in our spirit. That's the first aspect of his salvation. I'll skip this for a minute. He's going to come back. He's going to glorify us in our body. He's going to glorify us with himself. He's going to saturate our mortal body with the divine life. This aspect of salvation is related to his coming back. The troublesome part is in the middle, right? But be encouraged. He is going to do it. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. He's going to do it. We just need to let him.
Amen.
He wants to sanctify. So you know at the end of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame. At what?
At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
At what?
At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So this is fresh to me. His coming back is related to our full salvation. He's spreading, right?
Amen.
That spreading, that sanctifying, that preserving complete is related to his coming back.
Amen.
The more he does this, the more we make ourselves ready.
Amen.
The more he sanctifies, the more we're the closer we are to meeting the Lord.
Amen.
So the brothers are going to touch the matter of the oil tomorrow. So I won't spend a lot of time. But we know that we need a lot of help here. But be encouraged, his full salvation consummates with the glorification of our mortal body.
Amen.
No more sin, no more flesh, no more old man, old creation. It's going to be a new resurrected body.
Amen.
Permeated and saturated with the Lord himself. So with
1
Thessalonians 5:23, there are many, many good footnotes. But I would highlight note 6 and note 8. Note 6 and note 8, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Note 6, note 8. It's very good. It also touches on the matter of the Lord's coming. Okay, we are almost done. But how about How about we turn to Hebrews? Turn to the back, the last set of verses. It's the last set of verses, starting with Hebrews chapter 9. So how about the sisters read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Apart from sin, unto what?
Salvation.
Hallelujah. Amen. So again, another verse to show that the Lord's coming back is very much related to his full salvation.
Amen.
He's coming back apart from sin. The first time was to take care of sin.
Amen.
The second time is apart from sin,
amen,
unto salvation.
Amen.
So then how about we all read Hebrews 10, 35 through 39. Of the soul. Amen. To the gaining of the soul.
Amen.
My righteous one shall live by faith.
Amen.
So again, our living. We're the faith people.
Amen.
We're going to see it in just a minute. Chapter 11. We're the faith people. So we want to live by faith.
Amen.
We're not those. Brothers and sisters, don't shrink back.
Amen.
Come forward with boldness.
Amen.
Don't shrink back to ruin, but of them who have faith to the gaining of the soul.
Amen.
Okay, so then I also would like to read Hebrews 11, 36 through 12, 1. But before we read it, I'll go ahead and read through it. Because I think these verses were very helpful to me. I was just in my daily reading, and I was in Hebrews, and I saw some of these verses, and was very impressed that we see the Lord's coming all throughout the Scripture. All throughout. I mean, I just kept coming across it again here and there. There's the encouragement. There's the hope. There's the warning. And in chapter 11, right, it's a chapter on the witnesses of faith.
Right.
A wonderful chapter.
Right.
And at the very end, it concludes with a particular group of people, right? And I was very much touched by this last weekend. There was some fellowship, some particular fellowship, about believers who had paid the ultimate price,
right?
We see it here. We read these verses. Many were martyred, stoned, sawn in two, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that have preceded us. But even now, even right now, there's some in prison in some countries. But even before that, I had some fellowship last weekend about believers who had gone to China, gone to India, gone to Burma for the sake of the gospel and paid the highest price because of the one they loved.
Amen.
They were called. And they were called by the Lord to, you know, certainly to preach the gospel, to make him known, even in the heathen land, right? And so one sister in particular paid the price of her life during the time of the Boxer Rebellion. This really stood out to me. And she was a young sister when she went. She was in her mid-30s when she passed away. The Boxers were starting to kill the foreigners, mainly the Christians. Very horrendous. And she wrote a letter to her mother the day before she passed away. And she had said, I'm paraphrasing just a little bit of it, but whether or not I've saved anyone, I don't know. He knows. But it was all for him.
Amen.
It was all for him.
Amen.
So this sister, She went to a foreign land and didn't even know for sure if she had saved anybody. But she laid down her life for the Lord. That was the kind of love these ones had. So this is our lineage. This is our history. We're not here seeking our own things. They didn't seek their own things. They're not pleasure lovers. That's not why God created us. Our real pleasure is Him. So let's read all together Hebrews 11, 36 through 12, 1. And still others
underwent the trial of mockings and scourgings, even moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they died by the murder of the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, in goatskins, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering over deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good testimony through their faith, did not attain the promise, because God has provided something better for us.
Amen.
So that apart from us, they would not be made perfect.
For let us also, having so great a cloud of witnesses, put away every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and run with endurance the race which is set before us. Hallelujah. There's a race set before us. Brothers and sisters, you are not worthy of the world. You have something better to run after. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Something better to run after, because God has provided something better for us.
Amen.
Underline something better. That's what God has provided, something better. You've got to read the rest of Hebrews 12 to see what He provided. Actually, this is just we don't have time. You just have to read the book of Hebrews. Therefore, let us also, right before that, tail end, chapter 11, apart from us. This is important also, apart from us, they would not be made perfect. That means they need us. The ones who went before us need us. These are the cloud of witnesses. They're asking, they're praying, they're asking, hurry, in a sense, hurry up. Let's finish. Finish your course. Finish the race. Because they can't, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. So they're lacking something that only we can make up. They're waiting for us to finish this age that they themselves could enter in. So I just wanted to impress you a little bit. It's not just about us right now. There's so many that have gone before us. The Lord has prepared this long lineage, and we're at the tail end, at the edge of the spear. One brother was talking about the tip last weekend, the tip. We want to be at the tip. If you're not at the tip, you're on the side. It's better than nothing, but we want to be at the tip. We want to cut the way. Actually, the Lord Himself has already cut the way, and we're following behind Him. Okay, let's read point E in Revelation. We have the promise. Go ahead and read all together, 1, 2, 3, and 4.
And Christ, as another strong angel, will come out of heaven clothed with a cloud. And Christ, the Lamb, will come as the bridegroom to enjoy His marriage dinner with His prepared overcoming bride. And Christ, as the Word of God, will come in righteousness with His armies to defeat Antichrist and to judge
Amen.
Amen.
So at the end of the Bible, there's a wedding feast.
Amen.
This is the most blessed occasion The Lord, after thousands of years, after millennia, after eternity, right, all of eternity past, the Lord has gained his bride. He's calling us to be there, to be at the wedding feast, to enjoy him with the saints, right, at this feast. Don't miss it. That's the universal gathering. If you read it, Hebrews 12, there's the universal gathering. No party can match that gathering, that thousand-year wedding feast. Forget about that.
Amen.
We're here drinking the divine wine.
Amen.
We're here to be filled with Christ,
Amen.
To overflow with him.
Amen.
So the whole divine revelation ends with this three-time repeated warning. I come quickly.
Amen.
I come quickly.
Amen.
The Lord is saying, I come quickly.
Amen.
And our response is, Amen.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus. This should be our prayer.
Amen,
Amen Lord.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
John was echoing it back.
Yeah.
The Lord was speaking,
Amen.
And John was praying. This is the last prayer in the Bible.
Amen.
This is the last prayer.
Yes.
That means we need to pray it.
Amen.
Okay, so basically done. But I wanted to leave you with one word of encouragement. One word of encouragement. How about you open, for those who have it, Luke 12:32. Luke 12:32. I wanted to leave you with one more verse as an encouragement. Luke 12:32. All of us can enter in. All of us can enter in. Nobody here should take the lie that it's not for me. That's a lie. The Lord's regenerated us. He's come into us. All of us can receive him. And enter in. Okay, so Luke 12:32. The Lord says, do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father has been well pleased to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
Well pleased.
Amen.
Another translation says, delights.
Amen.
The Father delights to give us the kingdom.
Amen.
That's on his heart.
Amen.
He's not here with a stick and a carrot, kind of dangling it. That's what the devil does. The Lord doesn't do that. He just comes into us. He just saturates us. The devil will deceive us. The Lord, he supplies us. And his heart toward us, the Father's heart toward us, is to give us the kingdom. So may we all enter in. And may this weekend we have much prayer. And may we finish right with a prayer. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.